They had some fireworks, and my goodness, I'm firework done for a while. All right, maybe till New Year's, maybe. But I think, you know, I'm just sitting there, and wow, it's crazy. Well, this morning we're going to talk about family. How many families we got in here this morning? You're part of a family. If you have a heartbeat and 2 feet, you're probably part of a family. Amen. So we're going to talk about families. We're going to talk about some different responses to families and different aspects of a family. We have a family. We have 3 kids and a dog. We got Benjamin, Abby, and Timmy, and then Pepe, or Pierre, our dog. And then, so it's never a dull moment in our household. And so in the last 7-8 years, I've definitely learned a lot about, about becoming a parent and what type of person I am and all those things. And then this year, me and Kendra, actually this month, in a couple weeks' time, we will be celebrating our 10th year wedding anniversary, which is exciting. 10 years. I can't believe someone put up with me that long. That's a miracle in itself. And so Kendra deserves an award or a medal or something to put up with me for the last 10 years. But, you know, it's been quite the ride. And so, to me, family is very important. Family is very important. I come from a very large family. My parents were here recently, but there was 4 of us kids. And then my mother's side of the family, there was 13 kids. So you can imagine how many aunts and uncles I have. Now, on my dad's side, he was an only child. And then they had 4 of us. And then my grandmother's side, they had like 8 kids. Other side was something like that, too. So it was just big. Lots of aunts and uncles. I got cousins I've never even met before. You know, it's just kind of confusing sometimes. When you, hey, I'm your cousin. Oh, really? I didn't know you. You know? But it's fun. It's fun to have this big family. Well, one thing about family is that it is very important that your family has a solid foundation that it is built on. And one thing that was instilled into me as a very young child was that God is important. And that God is the basis of life. And that was put into me at a very young age. And now today, as I'm a dad, and I'm looking at my children, and I see these things, and I hear my kids sing praise and worship songs as they're just going around their house doing their things, or they actually start preaching to me about God and telling me Bible stories and stuff like that, it kind of makes me a little proud because I'm starting to see that my kids are getting something. And I'm not that bad of a dad that they're actually learning some scripture, they're actually learning some stuff. And so that gets me excited knowing that my kids are getting that foundation built as well. It blesses my heart when Benjamin looks at me and says, Daddy, he said, I want to be like you. He said, I want to be a pastor that plays drums. I said, well, praise God. I said, you can start right now. Get up there. And then Abigail, she wants to play the piano and sing. And Abby, all she does, man, all day long, she sings. I don't know if you've ever heard Abby sing, but man, when you're driving in the car, she's singing along. Benjamin, and even we got the UCB radio station on all the time. And Benjamin, I'll tell you how much we listen to that radio station. Benjamin knows all the commercials off by heart. He's back there, and he's doing the exact same thing that the announcer is doing. Word for word. Phone numbers, dates, everything. I'm like, Ben, we got to start getting you doing announcements in church, bud. You know, it's so cute. But you see, it's things like that. We don't really realize what's happening to our children, you know. But they're watching us, and they're listening to us. And what we're putting in us, they're getting also. Amen? And so it is vitally important that our families are built on a solid foundation. So like I said, we're going to talk a little bit about, that was all free, that's not even in my notes yet, but we're going to talk a little bit about the response of families and how we are supposed to interact with one another. You know, a lot of times families are dysfunctional. There's a lot of issues in families. There's problems between the husband and wife. There's problems between the parents and children. There's problems between the in-laws and the outlaws, you know. And then we're going to talk about, you know, even the issues between the family and God. I'm going to talk about 4 different responses this morning. So in a world today that we live in, you know, there's all types of influences, and we're all being bombarded with all types of stuff. You listen, you go on Facebook, you listen to the news, you go on all these things, you see all this stuff that's going on in the world. And unfortunately, not all of it is very positive. Actually, the majority of stuff that you get on news is negative. Not very often do you get a good piece special. You know, it just doesn't happen. You know, maybe this weekend isn't too bad. We're celebrating Canada, so there's a lot of, you know, stuff about that. But even with that, celebrating Canada's birthday, there's still been some, you know, unrest and some things and some disagreements and so on and so forth. And so, you know, it's one of these things is that we need to be guarding ourselves and watching ourselves on what we're putting in. You know, we need to make sure that we are following and staying true to what our family values and beliefs are. And unfortunately, today, society is telling us and a different thing on what Scripture has told us, and those lines of family values are being very blurred. Now, this might not be a real shout and glory hallelujah type message this morning, but I think it's a very important one. Because, you know, we need to be aware of these things. Is that, you know, when God created us, He created us with a reason and a purpose. And He told us to be fruitful and multiply, to have children. And with that becomes a great responsibility. And so we're supposed to hold fast to these values and to these beliefs that God has set before so we can raise up strong, healthy families. Amen? Amen. Do you agree with me here this morning?
Yes.
Are you still down at the marina watching fireworks? It's seen the last little while, the Lord's been dealing me with this on this topic and even revealing stuff in my life that and kind of slapped me around a little bit and show me different things. And I'm guilty of doing this as well, but changing my beliefs based on the circumstance. You know, we say one thing with our mouths, but you know, and trying to believe it, but we're really not putting two and two together. And because of a certain circumstance that's taken place in our lives, well, then we're slowly adjusting and tweaking what God had intended for us. We think that we are in control when really we're messing up. Come on. Because when we try and do these things, we're stepping outside of God's perfect plan and perfect will for our lives, and we're not walking in His will for us anymore. When we start doing these things, we're going to start messing up. And that's dangerous when it comes to our families. Once I became married, I was just not responsible for myself anymore. I had a wife now that I'm responsible for. And once we started having children, well, I definitely got more responsibility, and I got to look out for these little lives. Amen? Amen? And that's not something to be taken lightly. And we're going to dive into this. I'm getting excited. This is going to go somewhere. Good. Woo-hoo! You know that the enemy absolutely loves to destroy families? He takes so much joy in that. That's a sick and demented thing, is it not? To destroy someone's family. Excuse me. Now, I understand there's all types of different families. All types of different families. There's blended families, you know, single parents, so on and so forth. Kids are raised by grandparents or by aunties and uncles, you know. There's all types of families, but the basis of each family still stays the same. It's supposed to be built on love. It's supposed to be built on faith and trust in the Lord. Amen. And that's the way a strong family is built. It doesn't matter, you know, if it's a single dad or a single mom or if it's two parents together. Amen. You know, that's the way it is. The responsibility is still the same. All right. Let's keep going here. Well, like I said, there are several responses I'm going to talk about. And the first response that I want to talk about is found in Ephesians chapter 5. Let's turn over to Ephesians chapter 5 real quick. Is this good? You guys enjoying this thus far?
Yeah.
It's pretty quiet in this Pentecostal church. I don't know what's going on here. Are you just taking it all in? Yeah. Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 21. I'm going to read from the NIV, or not the NIV, New Living Translation. This is a Bible that I used to use a long time ago, and I haven't used it in a while, and I've kind of drawn back to it. Old Faithful here. So Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21. It says, "And further submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. For wives, this means submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For a husband is the head of his wife as Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior of his body, the church. As the church submits to Christ, you wives should submit to your husbands in everything. Now, verse 25. For husbands, this means love your wives just as Christ loved the church. Now, what we're talking about here is we're talking about the response of a relationship between a husband and a wife. Now, a lot of times, this scripture verse gets twisted. A lot of guys like to take this verse and run with it and say, you're supposed to submit to me and all these things. You know? And I've actually heard of extreme cases of relationships with scripture verses like this and being twisted and demented to where it's not even like, it's just crazy out there. It's a big responsibility that God has set to us. So the relationship, the response between a husband and a wife is that a woman is supposed to respect, to love her husband, to submit. God had said that a man was to be the head of the household, not a dictator. What does that mean? Well, the man of the house, he's supposed to provide. He's supposed to take care of. He's supposed to make sure things are done the way it's supposed to be done. But he's not a dictator and demanding things to be done. He's not a dictator saying, do this or else. Because our example, gentlemen, I'm going to talk to you for a second. Our example on how to be men is, and our example on how to love is through Jesus Christ, on how he loves the church. Does Jesus dictate to the church? Does he demand stuff like that? Do this, do that, do something else. No, he does it lovingly. And he shows us the way. He guides us, he protects us, he provides for us. Hallelujah. Man, that's your job. Amen? In a lot of relationships, you know, it's very blurred line sometimes. Guys have been belittled. I know guys who struggle because, you know, you might have a strong wife. I have a very strong wife. I might be the head in the household, but she's the neck that turns the head. I wear the pants, but she tells me what pair to put on. No, I'm just joking. Or am I? I don't know. Anybody can relate? Guys, don't put your hands up. It's a trick. You see, this is based on love. And so I do not command my wife to do stuff. But my responsibility is to make sure she's cared for and taken care and make sure she's provided for and she's got what she needs. Because her job is to honor and respect me also. It goes both ways. So let's continue reading here. So, verse 25, for husbands, this means love your wives just as Christ loved the church. He gave up his life for her. Guys, that's a big responsibility right there. Because Jesus laid down his life for the church, for me and you. That's how much love that we're supposed to have for our wives. Wow. That's good, eh? To make her holy and clean, washed by the cleansing of God's word. He did this to present her to himself a glorious church without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish. Instead, she will be holy and without fault. Gentlemen, we're supposed to treat our wives with such respect and such love, better than royalty. And the response to that is that, guys, she's going to love you, she's going to honor you, she's going to respect you, you know? She might even cook you bacon and eggs in the morning. Hallelujah. You know? But you see, this whole thing, this response between a husband and a wife, it's all about love. Amen. And sometimes when you get married for 10, 15, 20, 30, 40 years, sometimes people drift apart. Some more people get closer. My parents have been married, what is it now, 31 years or something like that? And they still make me blush when I'm around them. They do it on purpose. But my parents, they love each other. They really love each other. And I mean, they're best friends. They are partners in crime. I mean, they do everything together. And such an example of God's love right there. My dad's a very patient man. And my mom's got to be patient to put up with me. To raise me. But you see their love and how they've grown together. And how they've, it seems like in the last, since I've become, since me and Kendra got married, to even see them and see how they've grown even closer together. And as us kids, we, you know, we've been leaving and going out and starting our own families. And then seeing on how they've even bonded even closer and closer and closer. You know, it's exciting to see that. But now I've also seen families, and over time they've drifted apart. And I've seen husband and wives, you know, it hasn't really worked out for them. You know? And not bringing no condemnation on anybody here this morning. If you're divorced or you're split up, you know what? God can restore broken hearts. Amen? Amen? And God can mend things. But the thing is, we got to keep in mind is that, you know, old things have passed away, and behold, all things become new. And so we don't have to dwell in the past and have to stay in that hurt. Because the foundation of our faith, you know, the basis of all this is love. And for a strong family, like I said, of any shape, it's got to be on love. And so I'm striving to be a better husband. So I can show love to my wife. So that I can, and I'm going to be, it's hard. It's hard, guys, isn't it? It is hard, isn't it? I'm selfish. I am. Guys, anyone else here? Be honest. Anyone else here? You like to have stuff for yourself? You like to go off and spend your own money on your own toys? Guys, right? We're like that. We're glorified children. Right? And the women are all shaking their heads and nudging their husband. Get your hand up and listen to the preacher. I'm not going to lie. I love my fishing rods and my tackle. I love my snow machine, my ATV. I love all those things that I got. You know? I love to go off and buy tools, and I love all those things. I mean, I just love my toys. I've graduated from Hot Wheels and Legos to real stuff, right? And the truth be told, I still love Hot Wheels and Legos. That's why I have two little boys. But, you know, even though I'm selfish, I'm being honest, is this okay? I still have to put my selfish desires aside and make sure that Kendra gets what she wants and what the children has. And more than just their needs. Because you can stop it at that and just give them the basic necessities, a bit of clothes, a bit of bread and water, and a roof over their house, and then I could have whatever I wanted. Well, that's not fair now, is it? That's not showing love. No. The response is supposed to that you guys work together as a team. And that you work together, and that you enjoy life together. You see, once the relationship gets one-sided, it's not balanced. And this is when danger strikes. And this is when the devil's going to have a heyday. There's going to be resentment, there's going to be thoughts, and there's going to be stuff that's just going to tear you apart. That's not good now, is it? You don't need that. Instead, you need to be praying together. You need to be fishing together. Come on. On your quad together, building garages together, hallelujah, you know? And I'm thankful that my life partner, my beautiful wife, you know, there's things that she does not like to do, but she'll come and join me because she know I like them. And there's things that I don't like to do, and I'll go with her. I ended up at a Tupperware party on Thursday night. I did like it, not going to lie. Mama was there. She can tell you. I was intrigued, though. I really was. But I was at a Tupperware party. Guys, you got to get on this Tupperware action. I am telling you, the stuff that they have now, so fantastic. You know, the little flippy things and the knives and, you know, they got nice boxes you can use for tackle boxes, guys. And they got these, you know, nice, great big containers to put your walleye in. You know, it's just, see what I done there? It's not just dainties and stuff. Forget that. Let's use it for a man purpose, right? Hey, what do you think, Titus? Well, you use that stuff, eh? Yeah. But you know, I went, and my wife asked me, she goes, do you want to go? Do you want to go? I was kind of hemming and on about it. I'm like, well, you know. She's like, well, Pastor Dave's going to be there and Corey's going to be there. I was like, oh yeah, bait me in with the boys. I see how it is. Yeah, you know what? Yeah, I'll go. And so we took the kids with us. The kids were all playing, and I sat there, and I enjoyed myself, not going to lie. But it was interesting. It was good. Not necessarily it was something that I would love to do and do all the time, but it was cool. You know? Now, pampered chef, that's a whole different story. We'll get on that one. It is expensive. All right. So, if you get anything out of that little section about husbands and wives, is that it takes work to make it happen. But you can do it. And love is the foundation of that. Amen? Amen? Love is the foundation of that. A lot of patience, a lot of perseverance, a lot of hard work. But you'll do it. You'll definitely do it. Second response that I want to talk to you guys about this morning is found in Ephesians chapter 6, just across the page there, verses 1 to 4. And this is the response between parents and children. Dun, dun, dun. They say if you want to make people really mad, there's two things you need to talk about. One, their money. Two, their kids. Miss Jean, mean you were in a dangerous spot this morning. She took up the offering, and now I'm talking about children. Well, being a youth pastor and being a dad, I think I know a little bit about kids. Not a lot, but I know a little bit. And I know that they are crazy. And the older they get, the crazier they get. Any parents in here agree with me? Miss Stephanie's mom is here, and she just raised her hand. Stephanie, if my mom is watching, she's probably got her two hands in the air saying, yes, that's true. In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 to 4, it says, children, obey your parents because you belong to the Lord. For this is the right thing to do. I love that explanation. Benjamin comes to me every now and then, or Abigail, and they ask me a question. I'll say no, and they'll say why. And then I'll just say, because. Well, that's what Scripture is saying right there. Obey your parents. Why should I obey my parents? Because. All right? It's the right thing to do, and we'll leave it at that. Right? You got to be cut and dry sometimes when it comes. Not a big explanation. Well, why should you obey your parents? Because it's a nice thing to do, and that's why you should do it. Simple as that. That's pretty straightforward. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. If you honor your father and mother, things will go well for you, and you will have a long life on the earth. If you grew up in my household, and you disobeyed mom or dad, your life would be cut short. Vengeance is mine, saying my 5-foot crazy Newfie mom. Okay? I learned this real quick, and I understand the scripture verse now, that you will have a long life on the earth, because if not, your mama, she brought you in, she'll take you out. And my mama, she would take me out. We were in Bible school. This is a great Glenda story. I love my mama so much. Most of you guys know my mama. You know, she's pretty awesome. She's just a great person. I love my mom. She's hilarious. I came home from Bible school, me and my wife one day, and mom and dad beat us home, and the kids, Spencer, I forgot my brother's name. Spencer and Sherman, they were home from school for whatever reason. I walked in to the front door, and we had a little hallway, walk in, and then there's an island there in the kitchen in the living room. I walked in and looked. And here's my mom with my two little brothers in a headlock. Two boys, teenage boys. She's on her knees. Two of them down there. And I just looked. I turned around and walked back out. I'm like, I ain't having nothing to do with this. You know? And this is my crazy parents, man. She put them in the headlock, and the boys, they're trying to wrestle her and get it. And nope, wasn't going to happen. Wasn't going to happen. And so, but she was just messing around with him, praise God. Because I know she could take him out. But you see, parents, when we are dealing with our children, you know, this is a very touchy subject, and I am by no means an expert in children and raising kids. I just know what I do with my kids. And I know Ben and Abby and Timmy, they are three different personalities. And I know you got to parent them, three of them, differently. One way I talk to Ben, I can't talk to Abby the same way. And Lord knows you can't talk to Timothy that way, unless you got food, and then he listened to anything. Tim, I'm telling you, I got to get another job just to pay for the grocery bill for him. The kid is unbelievable. But let's keep reading here. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up with the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. Then I got me interested. Okay, so children, Scripture saying children, obey your parents. Okay, we got that. That's good. Why? Because it's a good thing to do, and you're going to live a long time because your mama's not going to kill you if you listen to her. Second part of that is that dads, but then you look down, you can actually say parents, don't get your children mad to mess around with them and upset them on purpose. Because a lot of times, and I've seen this, I've seen spitefully, parents do things to their kids for spite. That's bad. That's not a safe thing to do. You know, there's times when you can play, but when you're doing it just to, you know, to be evil, that's, come on now, that's not very smart. And so, when you discipline your children, and when you're doing that, you know, you don't do it out of anger. Parents in here, have your kids ever done anything that made you so mad? Like, I mean, just mad, super mad. Be honest in here. Your kids have done something, and you had that moment of, like, just, you're mad. Raise your hand. Be honest. Yep, yep. It's so easy to react in that moment and do something stupid. Right? But now, here's the thing. Instead of beating the unrighteousness out of them, you know, sometimes, and I found myself doing this, there would be times when the kids, and I would almost overreact. I probably would overreact. Now what I've learned is that I need to take a breath, stand back, take a second, and then deal with the situation when my blood pressure has gone down a few hundred points. Amen? Because does God ever beat us up when we mess up? Is God waiting up there with that big whack-a-mole mallet waiting for you to mess up and then bonk you on the head when you pop up and do something wrong? No. And so who is our example of a good father? God. As a good parent, because he looks after us. The Lord is so patient. Think about all the foolish things you've done this week alone. Think about how many times you've done something silly this week. You know? How many times have you failed God this week? But has he ever condemned you? Has he ever beat you? Has he ever thrown anything at you? No. No. He won't do that. Instead, what does he do? He shows you love. Now, there is consequences to your actions, of course. And this is where we drop the ball sometimes. You know, you can fall on either side of the road here when it comes to children. Children, obey your parents. Parents, don't lose your mind when they do something dumb, but don't be so free-spirited with them that they can do whatever they want. Because there has to be some rules and some discipline, and there has to be some regulations in the household. Yeah. This free-range parenting stuff, I'll tell you straight up now what free range is for, the birds. Not for your children. Because if you grow up in a society and it's whatever, do whatever, whatever, well, it's not going to work. I'm sorry. I'm not a parenting expert, but I'm not dumb. I know that, you know, if you let your kid go out and do whatever, they're going to do whatever. Well, you know, well, they're kids. Don't give me that. There's even in Scripture, there's a set of guidelines on how a Christian is supposed to live our lives, right? The Bible's full of instructions and full of, you know, of things that's important to live a successful Christian life. Now, it's up to us if we want to go outside those parameters and do whatever. We have a free will. But now when it comes to parenting and with children, and I'm just telling you what we do, okay? When it comes to our kids, guys, it's that there's rules and regulations. Now, as children, we kind of tighten up a little bit because we want our kids to be obedient. And is that wrong? No. That means you might have to, they might have to lose some privileges every now and then. There's a consequence when they do something that they're not supposed to be doing. A lot of times when we walk away from God, there's a consequence for us doing something that we shouldn't have done. Amen? Because of that free will. The rules are there. You can do whatever you want. But when it comes to parenting, we guide our children. We help mold them. And you have to be strategic about it so they know that, you know, it's fun because we like Benjamin to explore and learn things, but yet we kind of do it, it's kind of like bowling with the bunkers up. You know what I mean? They can go back and forth a little bit. There's a little bit of leeway in there, but there's a safeguard so they're not going to end up in the gutter. Come on now. And you see, this is the way this works. As parents and as guardians, as grandparents or whatever, if we're raising our children, well, this is the way we need to be thinking because God loves us so much that he's prepared a way for us so that we can, you know, okay, there's a little bit of leeway in a sense, right? But there's rules and regulations and there's instructions for us so that we can have a successful life. I don't know of any parent that don't want a successful life for their kids. I want us to very successful. I want my kids to excel. If Benjamin wants to be a pastor and play drums, well, so be it. You know? If that's what his desire is when he gets older, so be it. Abigail wants to sing and play piano and Lord knows what else. Actually, this week they want to be police officers as well. So be it. You know, that's fine. Timothy wants to eat food. Well, Lord help us. Timothy's a little young to know what he wants to do yet. He's just happy with a pack of mums and a juice box. Amen? But you see, guys, just turn over in Proverbs 22. Proverbs 22, verse 6. It says, train up a child in the way that they should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. That's a big responsibility. Like I said, the response between a husband and a wife is honor and respect and love. The response between parents and children is that, parents, you love your kids. And you, a part of loving your kids, you got to have these guidelines. You got to have this for them. Sometimes you're not always going to be the popular parent, but it doesn't say that you have to be their friend. Because when you're a parent and you're their friend, well, we're getting some very blurred lines now. Now, my kids know that they can come and talk to Dad about anything. I call Benjamin, I say this to all my kids, I said, you're my best bud, you know? But as they get older, they got to learn that, you know, friendship right now is different than the child-parent relationship. Because friends, you know, there's only certain things, right? It's not that same, once you get into that boat, well, then it's a little different now. The respect is still not the same. The honor is still not there the same as it is for a parent or a guardian. You know what I'm saying? So when you got kids, you love them and you parent them. Amen? Amen. Oh, boy. So train up a child in the way that they should go. Well, that's a big responsibility. What's the way that they should go? Not what any of these TV professional doctors say. Not what, you know, someone wrote 50 million books on child or, you know, some of that stuff is good, don't get me wrong. But you want a successful child, you follow the biblical way. You stand on the principles, love. You stand on the foundations that God has set before us. Because this is how you raise a kid right here. This is the book that you need for raising children. Amen? Shaka. Pastor Olm is texting me pictures from the conference. All right. Our responsibility is to train the children, parents, grandparents, even today. You know, even you older parents, and you got kids, they might be adults, believe it or not, you're still showing them stuff. You're still going to be showing them different things. Because they're still watching you. I still learn stuff all the time from my mom and dad. It's awesome to see, actually. And that's the thing. Never be too big to not learn. And my grandma, she's still alive, and she's there. She lives with my parents. And I guarantee it, she still teaches my mom and dad lessons every now and then. Bless her heart. Now, she's in a different role now, and of recent, it's been kind of going back through history and kind of looking at our family history, looking at pictures and looking at, but she's teaching my dad and reminding him of stories and telling him the things of the way that things were passed and passing it on to us and passing it on to our children, you know? You see, you'll never stop learning. You'll never stop growing as long as you're open to it. And so, parents, right now, you got little kids. Our job is to train up a child. We're supposed to teach them, not somebody else teach them. Because there's a lot of people out there, there's a lot of influences in their life. If they spend more time with the things of the world than with you, who do you think's got the greater influence? And this is what kind of gets my goat a little bit. Because I don't want someone else training up my children. I don't want someone else teaching my kids. You know, we've made a life choice and a decision that we're going to raise our children. And that I'm going to instill into them good, godly things that they need so that they can be a success. Amen? And so, in growing and training up my kids, I'm the parent. You know? And I'm sure everybody's got different situations, everyone got different work things and whatever. But the important thing is that you spend time with your child. Not always at the babysitter's. Not always at Nana's and Papa's house. Not always, you know, somewhere else. Once in a while is fine. You know? Because someone else is raising your kids. You know, if you, out of a 24-hour day, if you work 8 to 10 hours, you know, and you got little ones, and they go to bed early, so you get home, you go to work at, say, 8 o'clock, you get home around 5 or 6, by 8 o'clock, 8:30, it's time to put the little ones to bed, you know, you're only usually getting around 2 hours of good quality time with your children. The rest of the time, they're with somebody else. That's a scary thought when you think about it. And so, like, when school started, I was like, oh, boy. I struggled with that for a while. School was harder on me than it was for the children when they started. Now I'm thankful. It's like, thank you, Jesus. But we still make sure that we take the time and we got our children with us when we do stuff. Timothy is like the junior staff around here now, man. He goes, Miss Jean's in the office doing her stuff, and as soon as he hears the printer, he takes off running and grabs stuff off the printer and brings it to Jean. You know? He goes around to office and visits Pastor Roma, Pastor Ken, whoever's in the office. Just go in, you tell a story, whatever. You don't know what he's saying. You know, he go and visit. Every now and then, you're like, who the heck is Pastor talking to? You go look at and hear him and Timmy just having a grand conversation. You know? It could be time where or Timmy's trying to feed him goldfish or something. You know? But you see, we have to take the responsibility. God entrusted those children to us. Yes. Amen? Amen. The third response in this family unit that we're talking about is the immediate family to the extended family. Like I had said earlier, I have a huge extended family. I'm telling you. Like, I mean, I'm sure I got cousins, and like, I mean, like, supposed to be like, you know, close cousins, first, second, third cousins, I've never even met. Because our family is just so big, and we're spread it all over the country, and, you know, and then cousins I grew up with, well, they got kids. I haven't met half of their kids. I haven't met, yeah, many of their kids. And even some of their kids got kids now. I was like, oh, my goodness. My family's like a bunch of rabbits. They keep multiplying. Anyway, some cold winters. Anyway. So what is the response? Well, very basic with this one once again. 1 Corinthians 13. Now, when I'm talking extended family, I'm talking about all you aunties and uncles and your grandparents and your cousins and, you know, that Uncle George that drives everyone nuts. You know, we all got that cousin or uncle that's crazy. First Corinthians 13. And I think this sums it up pretty good. So this is our response. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable. And it keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith. It is always helpful and endures through every circumstance. Prophecy and speaking in unknown languages is special knowledge. We become useless, but love will last forever. So when it comes to this, when it comes to your extended family, sometimes they can get under your skin. Amen? Y'all got that family member that just drives you nuts, right? Well, guess what you're supposed to do? If you're saying, no, I don't have that family member, guess what? You're that family member. That's you. You don't got one of those people in your family, you can't identify it, I just found them for you. That would be you. Robbie, are you that person, Robbie? No? Okay, good. I'm just checking. I don't think you are. Love, man. And this is something, I got people, and you know, my family, my the word that I use to describe my family is special. Well, how's your family? They're special. But I love them to bits. They all got different backgrounds, come from different walks of life in a sense. You know, some of them, they're doing their own thing. I still love them. Why? Because I want to get to heaven. Amen? No, but I love them. I do. I do love them. They choose to live a different lifestyle or do whatever. That doesn't mean I hate them. I don't necessarily have to agree with what they're doing, but I still got to love them. And so when it comes to my family, to our extended family, we got such a, even Kendra's family, they're special. Put it nicely. They're special. But you still got to love them. And this scripture verse here, this covers this. Because if you want a strong family unit, this 1 Corinthians right here, chapter 13. Love, man. A lot of times we lose sight of that. We lose sight of the importance of the family unit. We lose sight of how important it is to be loving one another. Because it's hard sometimes. It really is. People drive me crazy. The world would be awesome if there was no people in it. Okay? It's just a fact of the matter. But unfortunately, we still got to love one another. We still got to work together as a team. Because when you think about it, are we not all one big family? We got one Heavenly Father, the creator of the universe, the God that created all this. He's our Heavenly Father. And so therefore, we're supposed to work together as a team. We'd get the job done. Because we all have a specific job to do. My dad, he's got three boys, there's three of us, and a little girl. And they used to tease him all the time. They say, what, are you trying to make your own baseball team? He said, no, I'm getting my own fishing crew. But it's true, we've all worked with my dad at some point. Saved him thousands of dollars in labor cost. A little bitter about that, but no, I'm joking. Love you, Dad. But you see, we work together. Our family, you know, we play a specific role. Each one of us, we do. You know, my role is a little different than what my middle brother's role is. My youngest brother, his role is different than what my middle brother's role is and what mine is. Our sister, you know, her role is definitely different. She's the baby. Spoiled little thing. But we love her to bits. And she's super special. She was adopted when she was 16 months old from Thailand. And she's 16 now. You know, the only difference between her and me, she's brown. You know, we don't know the difference because that's the way love is. Amen. It's like she's always been around. We don't know the difference. You know? And it's so fantastic that her role, you know, she kind of, you know, we all rally around. The poor little girl don't stand a chance because she's got three older brothers. And we're all crazy, okay? Two of us is like bushwhacker crazy, me and me and Spencer. We're the bush guys. We, you know, shotguns, God, beard, the whole thing. That's us, right? Sherman, he's city crazy. So he'll chase him down on a skateboard. He's one of those kids, okay? But we protect our little sister because we love her so much. You know, and that's our role as big brothers. You know, that's the way it is. But then we got a heavenly father who gave us an elder brother as well. His name is Jesus. Amen. And you see how this family thing works? Because now, as here in natural realm, here on earth, well, we know we got brothers and sisters and family, whatever. But in spiritual speaking, we got a heavenly father, we got a heavenly brother that takes care of us. Amen. And he's going to do some good things for us. He's going to protect us. He's going to guide us. He's already blessed us. You know what? Our elder brother, Jesus Christ, he already died for us to protect us. Amen. Because our heavenly father, seeing that we needed help. Amen. This family unit is tight. So a biblical family unit, and the way that we're supposed to be striving for one, it needs to be tight. I mean, you're not going to agree on everything all the time. But that does not stop the momentum in the moving of this beautiful machine called a family. Okay? You have a little hiccup in the road? Well, that's okay. Let it be a hiccup. Don't destroy something over something silly. Amen? Because families have been torn apart over silly stuff. Because someone's feelings got hurt. Or someone said something stupid. You know? Well, all you need to start doing is waking up in the morning and just start apologizing. I'm sorry. Well, before. Well, I'm probably going to say something stupid, so just being covering the bases. No, be careful what you say and what you do. Amen? Amen. Last response I want to talk to you guys about is between the family and God. Psalms 115, verses 13 to 14. You guys getting anything out of this? Psalms 115, verse 13 to 14. This is a very interesting scripture. Verse said, He will bless those who fear the Lord, both great and lowly. May the Lord richly bless both you and your children. Those of us who fear the Lord, and I'm not being saying scared of the Lord, but you honor and you respect the Lord, you have a relationship with the Father. Those of us that have that, we are going to be blessed by God. That is the response. So when your whole family together, well, you know, we've heard the cliche, you know, a family that prays together stays together. You know, it's the most cheesy thing on the face of the planet, but it's so true. Because a family that does those things together, that pray, that confess, that believe, amen? Well, they're honoring God. They have a fear for the Lord, excuse me. And so you're going to see things take place. God is not, oh, that's nice. God's like, that's awesome. I love you. Here's my blessings. Just take them. It's already available to you. He will give you things. He will bless you. He will provide for you. Your family will flourish. Isn't that good? You will be blessed. Your family, and just not you, just not the dad or the mom or the kids, but the whole family unit, those that's connected to you. Amen? God did not design us to be broke. God did not design us to be disgusted and sick and full of disease. No, God designed us to be full of life and of joy. Come on now. God designed us to be awesome. Amen? And just not to be moving forward by ourselves, but grab your family by the hand and walk and do it. Walk that path that God has set before you. Sure, there's going to be struggles. There's going to be, you're going to stumble, you're going to fall. But don't stay down. Get up. Pull your family with you. Yesterday, we're walking down around the marina, and it's easy to get lost down there with all those thousands of people. So I kept my kids. Come on, guys. You walk with Dad. Keep walking. You know, there was times we get cut off, but we'd go around. There's times we had obstacles in our path, but we went around. There's times that, you know what, we could have fell down or tripped up or slipped in mud, but we kept going. Amen? It's the same way it is with this Christian walk as a family unit. We don't do this by ourselves because we're cutting ourselves short. But we walk forward with the grace of God. Amen? You will see changes in your life. You will see your family grow. Well, Pastor Steve, my family right now, we're kind of dysfunctional. Get on your knees and start praying. You start believing. You start standing in the gap. You walk by faith and not by sight. Come on. Are we not faith people here? Well, you know, it's been hard for the last few years. Well, brother, sister, I'm going to stand with you. I'm going to believe. I'm going to believe that if you've got struggles in your family, God is bigger than that. We confess over our children every day. Every day we confess over them. And we pray, thank you, Father God, that their bodies are healed, healthy, and whole, and that no weapon formed against us shall ever prosper, and we're going to have a successful day. We say that every day over our children. And my kids, they're learning things, man. They're developing. Benjamin was kind of like his dad a little bit. School is not his strongest point. But this year, it's like the lights came on. And man, the stuff that he's learning and doing, he's driving by, he's reading signs, and he's spelling words, and he's doing, his brain is never stopping. It's always processing. And Abigail, same way. Abigail is like the real motherly type. And even like in school, you could see how she's developing and how she's learning. You know, even in JK and SK, it's funny, the teachers even said, she's helping out the younger kids. Well, first of all, she's only like 5. But she's guiding the little kids and helping them along. Because you know what? I believe because of our confession and what we're saying that our kids, you know, they're learning, they're growing, they're developing, that things are happening in their lives. Yeah. Amen? Amen? Timothy, he amazes me. He got his own little language developed. And mostly it revolves around goldfish and snacks. But you get what he's saying. But just the way he acts and you know, he shows love. You know? Timothy, he loves giving hugs. He loves love. And my kids are sensitive. Ben is like that. Ben, I don't know if you've ever gotten a hug from Benjamin, but when he hugs you, it's a hug, and you can feel the love coming off of Ben. You know? Abigail, same way. My kids are just full of love. It just blows my mind to see that. Because you know what? They have a relationship with God already. And I'm not boasting about me and Kendra because we're no super parents, put it that way. But at least we're doing something and they're seeing God in us. And they come here and they see good examples. Amen? They see people who love God. And even Timothy, not even 2 yet. And he'll come up and he'll wrap your arms around your neck and he'll choke you because he loves you so much. You know? Or if he accidentally hurts you, he'll come up and he'll rub. You know, he put his head down on you know. But you see, it's important for us to have that foundation in our lives. It's important that our families be built firmly on love, on God. This is not something to be taken lately. Well, I'm a grandparent. Good. You still got lots of training to do. You got more kids to take care of now. Your job's only starting. Because unfortunately, us younger ones, we have no clue. We're trying to figure it out. You've been around a block a time or two already, you know? Amen. Isn't God good? Amen. Isn't God wonderful? We love our children. We love our husbands, our wives, our family. God is so good. I love this response, these responses on how we're supposed to work together. You know, you say, well, Pastor Steve, I'm single. Yeah, that's okay. Say, being single is good. Because your time has come when you're going to have a bunch of little bunny rabbits around too. You know? God will look after you. And you're still part of a family. So your role is vital. My kids got lots of aunties and uncles that aren't actually their blood aunties and uncles. Amen? You speak life. I love Facebook because it tells everything. But you see the people and how they react to children, and they don't have their own kids, but you see their love, and you see how they're helping guide those children by loving them. I tell my brother all the time, when are you going to make me an uncle? You know? To tease him, because right now I'm the only one that's done anything yet. I'm the one that got kids. But like, I look forward to, I got little kids around here, and they call me Uncle Steve. And I love that because, you know, even though they're not my children, I still get to speak into them. Because to me, that's a very important thing. When a kid calls you uncle, that's a sign of respect. And that also gives you, you know, you can love on them. You can speak into their lives. Amen? Isn't that good? Well, we're going to do communion this morning. I know it's a little different of a message. But before we close, I'm going to ask everyone to stand on your feet. And we're going to do this this morning. Hopefully you guys got something out of that this morning. It's a little different, I know. But the family unit is absolutely important. And what we're about to do together as a family, this is one of the most important sacraments. Well, this is the most important sacrament that we can do. Of a remembrance of what Jesus did for us. That over 2,000 years ago, God, John 3:16, for God so loved the world, that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Our Heavenly Father loved us so much that he sent his Son to die, our elder brother, to die on the cross for our sin, for our sickness, so that we would not be condemned to hell. That we can have a life and have a life more abundant. You see, this family thing, this goes way, way deep. This is just not about a mom and dad per se, but this is about a body of believers who come together who love the Heavenly Father. Just look at your life for a second. Think about all the good things God has done for you. Think about your blessings. Scripture tells us that, you know, we should examine our hearts. So before we take communion tonight, or this morning, let's all look at ourselves. And if there's something in there that does not need to be there, if we got resentment, hate, something against a family member, or something that's holding us back, before we take communion, let's get rid of that. Let's just take a few seconds here. Let's just thank God. Let's just talk to God. Father, Lord, we just love you so much. And Father God, I just thank you. Lord, just examine us right now. Father God, if there's anything in me that don't need to be there, I just ask you right now just to remove it, take it, throw it out. Father God, I commit my life over to you 110%, Father. Lord, help me grow. Help me develop. Become a better family man, Lord. And Father God, that I can be a good example to my wife and to my children and to those around me. And Lord, that when my attitude stinks, Lord, that you'll correct me. And Father God, when I don't feel like doing something because I'm being lazy or being greedy, and Father God, you'll show me that I need to smarten up. And Father God, I just pray for each person that's in this place right now, Lord, and in the sound of my voice, if they're watching on the internet, or Father God, or they're just here in this church, listening to a recording, whatever it may be. Father God, I just pray, I just believe, that Lord, that they'll choose to turn towards you, Lord. Take their family by the hands and run towards you, Lord. Go after what you have set before them, the blessings. Oh, Lord. When the time came, Jesus and the apostles sat down together at the table. Jesus said, I have been very eager to eat this Passover meal with you before my suffering begins. For I tell you now that I won't eat this meal until its meaning is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Then he took the cup of wine, and he gave thanks to God for it. He said, take this and share it among yourselves. For I will not drink wine again until the kingdom of God has come. He took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it in pieces and gave it to his disciples, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Family, in remembrance of what Jesus did for us. Us being so undeserving of this. Let us take this not lightly, not just because it's a routine or it's something that we do, but because it's meaningful and that this is life-changing, that this is what family is all about. Shall you take together? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just thank him for what he's done for us. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, church. Let's just thank him in this place. Let's thank him. Thank him for his goodness to us. Thank him for our families. Thank him for your lives. Thank him for what he's doing. Thank him for your children, for your spouse, for your future spouse. Thank him for your body, your healing. Thank him for the blessing.